So, Darren, talk to me about the Montreal Canadiens. They start bad. In Quebec province, everybody are concerned. What is the Ontario vision of Montreal Canadiens?
Well, I think everybody is a little surprised at how slow the Montreal Canadiens have started this NHL regular season. You know, there's been some significant change, I would say. I mean, they've added some interesting pieces, namely Jonathan Drouin. So I'm sure that Marc Bergevin, Claude Julien, and company were expecting an offensive spark. And I think Drouin has provided that. But beyond that, there hasn't been a whole lot that has gone positively for the Habs. I felt like their game against the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday could have been a turning point for them. You know, they didn't get the extra point in overtime, you know, because of the heroics of Austin Matthews. But I think that that was arguably, you know, the best game that the Canadiens had played to that point. You know, they showed their speed, certainly in their transition game. But as Max Pacioretty said after that loss last night in San Jose, nobody's feeling sorry for the Montreal Canadiens. I mean, inside that dressing room, they've got to figure it out because, for the most part, the pieces are there. They just collectively have got to find a way to get it all together.
Do you think that Galchenyuk is on the real market or nobody really wants him?
No, I mean, I wouldn't say that the Montreal Canadiens are shopping Alex Galchenyuk. I mean, he's one of those names that always seems to be out there in some way, shape, or form. But I think that that largely speaks to, you know, his role with the Canadiens and how it seems to change on, you know, almost a week-by-week, if not a game-by-game basis. I think that if he were legitimately in play on that trade market, there would be interest in Galchenyuk because, you know, he's still a very offensive player who has potential. And he's young enough that there would be NHL clubs who would look at him and say, well, we're willing to take the chance. Now, you know, his contract extension might be a little bit daunting for some to consider, but yeah, I think that the Montreal Canadiens still see value in Galchenyuk, and the time isn't right, and nor is there interest there to move him at this point. That can change very quickly, as you know. I mean, if things don't turn around for the Canadiens, you know, Marc Bergevin is going to have to do something, one would think. But I don't get the sense from talking to outside clubs around the NHL that, you know, Galchenyuk is legitimately in play. But as I said, things can change very quickly.
Okay. The Canadiens is a rich franchise in the NHL and the other years, and usually they don't really have space on the cap. So are you surprised that they have like $8.7 million right now, and they never really replace Radulov and Markov?
Yeah, a little bit surprised. You know, both players were impactful players. They were significant pieces on the ice and off the ice for the Montreal Canadiens. So, you know, the fact that Bergevin wasn't able to replace them, I mean, there's two pretty significant holes in the lineup. I think that's fairly obvious, but you know, Bergevin also has an obligation to his ownership and the organization in general. And, you know, it's one thing to spend at a cap, but you need to spend wisely. You have to make sure when you're spending millions of dollars on players that these are players that are going to help you both short-term and long-term. And I think it's pretty obvious that Marc Bergevin isn't afraid to spend money or to add pieces to make the Montreal Canadiens better. There couldn't have been a fit out there that made sense. And, you know, obviously the saga that turned out to be the back and forth with Andrei Markov didn't go well, and it's easy to criticize the Montreal Canadiens now in hindsight because of the cap space that they have and the belief that Markov could have made the Habs better on that blue line. But he must have a grander vision as to how he's going to invest that money. And it's easy to criticize Bergevin now for not spending the cap space because of how poorly they've started. But if they were, you know, reversely a team off to a great start, then I think that Montreal Canadiens fans would be celebrating their start, and they'd be looking at Marc Bergevin as a genius because of all the cap space that he's going to have to make the team better between now and the trade deadline.
Okay. Darren, I met Patrick Roy this morning on the press conference for the young Anne-Catherine Tanguay, who will play on the LPGA next year. She's from Quebec City. And Patrick said to me that now he realized that the next job for him in the NHL will be probably more administrative, so more GM than coach. Do you listen his name in some rumors?
Well, I wouldn't put his name there unless, it's legitimate. And I'm not suggesting that Patrick Roy wouldn't make a good NHL general manager. But, you know, when we as insiders, you know, report names on lists of potential hirings, be it coach hirings or general manager hirings, it's with good source. It's with good reason. You know, you have to know that ownership has reached out to that individual to legitimize that storyline. And I think that, you know, Patrick, as I said, would make a good NHL general manager, given his history in the sport and, you know, those around him who played with him and worked with him after his playing career, you know, really value his opinion because of how he views the game and, you know, his keen eye for talent when it comes to analyzing and assessing the players. But for me to say that his name is out there or could be attached to this team or that team, I haven't heard it. But that doesn't mean that it won't surface at some point.
Okay. How we can compare the revival of the Leafs with Matthews, Nylander, and Marner to the Chicago Blackhawks with Kane and Toews when they arrive?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Toronto Maple Leafs and this young core, they've got more to prove. But, you know, you're right, there are some similarities in terms of how dynamic Kane and Toews were when they first broke into the National Hockey League. And, you know, you throw Seabrook and Duncan Keith into that mix and some of the other pieces that helped the Chicago Blackhawks win their Stanley Cups. And it's fair to make those comparisons and draw on the similarities, but you know, Matthews and company haven't proved anything yet, other than that they are world-class young developing players. And I don't think that there's anybody anymore who's willing to question the superstar status of Austin Matthews and, you know, how dynamic he is with Willie Nylander. I mean, the chemistry is undeniable. Toronto is tracking in the right direction. You know, they're tracking in the direction of being a Stanley Cup contender. Could it be as early as this year in terms of contending for that cup? Yeah, I suppose anything is possible. But, you know, I think if you talk to Mike Babcock or anyone with a higher level of Stanley Cup experience, they would acknowledge that there's still a lot of growth that has to happen with those players and, you know, many around the organization to help them reach that goal.
And for your point, who will have the more credit for the Leafs revival? Is it Lamoriello, Shanahan, Babcock? Every answer or?
Well, you know what? It might start with the draft lottery. You okay. know, with all due respect to Lamoriello and Shanahan, and you know, of course, Mike Babcock, who you know is right up there with the best coaches ever. But the Maple Leafs were fortunate in winning the lottery and
okay.
more fortunate in that there was, you know, franchise marquee slash player like Austin Matthews available to them to pick first overall. That's really where this rebuild kicked into high gear with great respect to the likes of Nylander and Marner and, you know, Connor Brown has been great for the Leafs and Zach Hyman, acquiring Freddie Anderson. I mean, there's so many other pieces. You go back to drafting Nazem Kadri or Morgan Riley or the move they made to get Jake Gardner. I mean, there are lots of reasons behind where the Toronto Maple Leafs are now, but pull Austin Matthews out of a Maple Leaf uniform. And, you know, maybe the team isn't quite as ready to be placed in the position that we're placing them in as a group just yet. I mean, he is a special player. So I'll give credit to management of the Toronto Maple Leafs and for Mike Babcock for, I would say, preparing a fan base. Because when Babcock arrived, he acknowledged publicly that year was going to be real tough. And it was, but publicly it wasn't as difficult to digest because they were ready. Again, you know, the Maple Leafs as an organization had programmed the fan base. So I think there are a lot of factors, and it's hard to identify one or two or three individuals who deserve the most credit.
Okay, what is the more surprising for you? Jagr still in the NHL or Duchesne still in Colorado?
Probably Duchesne in Colorado. You know, he's been a top story, I would say, for, you know, the past year and a half,
yep.
frankly. And you know, there are clubs out there who tell you that they knew that Matt Duchesne was more or less available, you know, 2 years ago. So the fact that, you know, he remains with the Avalanche is surprising to me. I think that Joe Sakic has had an abundance of opportunity to trade him. you know, leading up to the deadline last year. Obviously, there are trigger points over the course of the off season, the draft being among those. He could have moved him on the draft floor and chose not to. But, you know, I will give Joe Sakic some credit here for being as patient as he is, even though I'm sure it's incredibly frustrating for Matt Duchene and perhaps for those around him. But he established a price which, you know, many general managers with interest would describe as being unrealistic. And Sakic really hasn't backed off that price. So that is just an appreciation of the asset that he has in Matt Duchene. And, you know, Matt Duchene has played very well through the early goings here for the Colorado Avalanche. So it's not going to get any easier for Sakic to pull the trigger and move this piece because of how well he's playing. He's not going to back off his asking price now because there's no reason to.
Okay, last question. Ken Dryden made a new book, and he made a good statement against the league for the commotion. It's a big concern, and do you think that the NHL will listen, Mr. Dryden?
Well, at some point, I don't think that the National Hockey League is going to have a choice. I mean, legally, with all the work that's been done, you know, towards curbing concussions and head injuries in the sport of hockey, and the fact that the litigation is still out there, you know, specific to the concussion lawsuit, et cetera, you know, just from an insurance perspective, at some point, I could absolutely see the National Hockey League adopting more of an international policy and a head-checking penalty. But it's a slippery slope, and we talked about this on TSN a little bit last night. The NHL always is wary of the unintended circumstance or consequence, and what I mean by that is, you know, of course you want to penalize the blatant head checks where the check was avoidable and the player followed through. In my opinion, that should be a penalty, but I don't think that it should be an automatic penalty for head contact, because there are other examples. You know, let's use one whereby a player has control of the puck and he might be driving wide and then he cuts across to drive the net. He's got his defenseman beat, but the defenseman at the last second bends over, reaches in a last-ditched effort to poke the puck off the guy's stick, and his, you know, the offensive player happens to catch the defensive player in the side of the head with his shoulder trying to make an offensive play. Well, is that automatically a two-minute penalty? I don't think that anyone in the game would want that. So I can see it happening at some point in the future. I just don't know how soon it'll be.
Perfect, Darren. Thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye-bye.